Lecture 5 Teaching Prep, Part 1, The Molecule and the Cascade. Hey Michael, welcome to your teaching prep for Lecture 5. This is Tuesday's class, April 14th, and you're pivoting from 2 weeks of optics into the vision block. This lecture zooms all the way into a single molecule catching a single photon. It's been a while since you've thought deeply about phototransduction, so let's walk through the key content, flag the spots where students will get confused, and workshop some analogies you can use in class. We'll cover the first half today. That's the molecule, the cascade, and single photon detection. Part 2 covers the evolutionary story and opsin families. The opening, entrance ticket. You're starting with a disorienting question. What actually happens when a photon hits your eye? Students sketch the sequence on an index card. Most will write something vague, like light goes in, hits the retina, sends a signal. Almost nobody will know about retinal isomerization or the G-protein cascade. That's the point. You're surfacing the gap so they can feel it close over the next 75 minutes. Quick tip, tell them explicitly, it's fine to be wrong. We are about to spend an entire lecture answering this question. That lowers the stakes and makes them more honest about what they don't know. The two-part visual pigment. Here's your first content block, and it's the foundation for everything else. A visual pigment has two parts. Part one is the opsin, a protein. Think of it as a custom-built box. It's a 7-transmembrane G-protein-coupled receptor, which means it's part of the GPCR superfamily, the same family as your adrenaline receptors and olfactory receptors. About a third of all FDA-approved drugs target GPCRs. So if a student says, "Why should I care about protein structure?" you can say, "GPCRs are one of the most pharmacologically important protein families in existence." Part 2 is the chromophore, 11-cis-retinol. This is the part that actually absorbs the photon. It's a vitamin A derivative, which is why vitamin A deficiency causes night blindness. You literally can't make the molecule that catches photons without vitamin A in your diet. There's a direct nutritional link to this molecular machinery. Here's a useful analogy for how the opsin and retinol work together. Think of the retinol as a guitar string and the opsin as the body of the guitar. The string vibrates, that's the retinol absorbing a photon. But the sound you hear, the pitch, the timbre, depends on the body of the guitar. A Les Paul and an acoustic guitar have the same strings, but they sound completely different because the body shapes the resonance. Same thing here. The retinal chromophore is the same molecule in every visual pigment. But the opsin protein surrounding it modifies the electronic environment, shifting which wavelengths the retinal absorbs. A rhodopsin peaks at 500 nanometers. An LWS opsin with the exact same retinal peaks at 560 nanometers. Same string, different guitar. You can use this analogy in class. Students will remember it. Now, briefly, why does retinol absorb light at all? It's a polyene, a chain of alternating single and double bonds. The electrons are delocalized across this conjugated system, which means they can be excited to higher energy states by absorbing a photon of the right energy. This is E equals HC over lambda from week one, made biological. Don't belabor the quantum mechanics. One sentence is enough. The alternating double bonds create a system where electrons can absorb light and the opsin tunes which wavelength by modifying the electron environment. The isomerization, 200 femtoseconds. This is your wow moment. When a photon is absorbed, it snaps the retinol from 11 cis, the bent form, to all trans, the straightened form, in about 200 femtoseconds. That's 2 × 10⁻³⁷ seconds. For perspective, sound travels about 0.07 millimeters in that time. A hummingbird's wing moves about 0.00000002 millimeters. Most chemical reactions take nanoseconds to milliseconds, a million to a billion times slower. This is the fastest known biological event. Period. Here's an analogy that works well. Retinal isomerization is like a loaded mousetrap. The 11-cis form is the set trap, spring-loaded, holding potential energy in a strange geometry. The photon is the mouse stepping on the trigger. The snap to all trans is the spring releasing. It happens so fast because all the energy was already stored in the molecule. The photon just releases it. The quantum yield is 0.65, meaning about two-thirds of absorbed photons successfully trigger the snap. That's remarkably high for photochemistry. The opsin protein actively channels the excited molecule toward isomerization by constraining the geometry. It's not just a passive box. It's an active participant in the reaction. Fun fact worth mentioning in class, the retinal isomerization was resolved in real time using femtosecond spectroscopy by Schoonlein, Patinu, Matthes, and Schenck in 1991 in Science. That experiment is essentially the fastest biochemistry anyone has ever directly measured. The cascade, from shape change to neural signal. Once retinal goes all trans, the straightened molecule doesn't fit the binding pocket anymore. It's like a key that's been bent. It pushes against the lock. The opsin deforms, exposing a binding site on the cytoplasmic face. This is where the GPCR magic happens. The sequence goes like this. Step 1. The activated opsin, called R-star, binds transducin, a G-protein specific to photoreceptors. Step 2. Transducin activates phosphodiesterase, or PDE. Step 3. PDE chews up cGMP, rapidly hydrolyzing it. Step 4. The loss of cGMP closes ion channels in the membrane. Step 5. The photoreceptor hyperpolarizes. Now, students do not need to memorize every enzyme name. What they need is the logic. Photon leads to shape change, leads to enzyme activation, leads to second messenger depletion, leads to channel closure, leads to voltage change. It's a signal transduction cascade, just like the ones they saw in introductory biology, but triggered by a photon instead of a hormone. The backwards part, hyperpolarization. Here's where students will get confused, and you need to be ready for it. In the dark, those ion channels are open. There's a steady inward current of sodium and calcium. The cell is relatively depolarized, sitting at about negative 40 millivolts instead of the typical resting negative 70 millivolts. The photoreceptor is louder in the dark. When light arrives, cGMP drops, channels close, the inward current stops, and the cell hyperpolarizes toward negative 70 millivolts. The cell gets quieter in response to light. This is backwards from every other sensory cell students have encountered. Touch receptors depolarize. Hair cells depolarize. Olfactory neurons depolarize. Photoreceptors hyperpolarize. Why? Here's the analogy. Think of the photoreceptor in the dark as a dam with a controlled leak. Water, representing ions, flows through holes, representing channels, at a steady rate. That flow is the dark current. When light arrives, it plugs the holes. The flow stops and the water level on one side drops. That drop is the hyperpolarization. The reason this is backwards is evolutionary, not functional. The ancestral ciliary photoreceptor inherited a cyclic nucleotide pathway where cGMP kept channels open as the baseline state. Evolution didn't redesign the whole system. It just plugged an opsin into the front. The backwards logic is a historical artifact, not a design flaw. This connects directly to Todd Oakley's co-option framework, which you'll hit in the second half of the lecture. Amplification, one photon, 100,000 channels. The gain of this cascade is staggering. One photon activates one opsin. One activated opsin activates about 100 transducin molecules. Each transducin-activated PDE hydrolyzes about 1,000 cGMP molecules per second. Net result, one photon leads to roughly 100,000 closed channels in a few hundred milliseconds. The analogy, one photon is a whisper. The cascade is like a stadium PA system. It takes that whisper and amplifies it until 100,000 seats can hear it. Each stage of the cascade multiplies the signal. This is why a rod can detect a single photon. The molecular amplification lifts one quantum event above the thermal noise floor of the cell. But amplification comes at a cost. You need machinery to shut it off. Arrestin, rhodopsin kinase, RGS proteins. Without termination, the cell would be stuck after one photon, like a PA system with no off switch. The termination machinery is as complex as the activation machinery. Don't skip this point in lecture. Students need to understand that the cell is not a one-shot device. It must recover, and recovery is just as engineered as activation. Single photon detection, Hecht, Schlaer, and Perrin. Close the first half with this classic experiment. In 1942, Hecht, Schlaer, and Perrin showed that dark-adapted humans can reliably report a flash containing as few as 5 to 7 photons absorbed across the retina. Since those photons are scattered across hundreds of rods, the logical conclusion is that each individual rod responds to a single absorbed photon. This was behavioral evidence for single photon detection, confirmed 37 years later when Baylor, Lam, and Yao in 1979 recorded single photon responses directly from individual toad rods with suction electrodes. Why this matters for the course? This is where physics meets biology at its most extreme. A single quantum of light, the smallest possible unit of electromagnetic energy, is detected by a single cell. The universe does not get quieter than this. And evolution solved the detection problem with a protein, a vitamin, and a cascade of enzymes. No silicon, no electronics, no engineering. Just selection on molecular parts over hundreds of millions of years. That's the end of part one. The first half of this lecture is pure molecular cell biology, dense but beautiful. In part two, we'll cover the evolutionary story, deep ancestry, ops and families, the nocturnal bottleneck, primate trichromacy, and the principle of univariance. That's where it connects back to ecology and the rest of the course. Quick reference, key numbers to have ready. Isomerization speed, about 200 femtoseconds. Quantum yield, about 0.65, meaning 65% of absorbed photons trigger isomerization. Cascade gain, about 10 to the fifth, one photon to 100,000 closed channels. Human absolute threshold, 5 to 7 photons at the retina, from Hecht and colleagues, 1942. Rhodopsin molecules per rod, about 100 million. Rod resting potential in the dark, about negative 40 millivolts. Rod hyperpolarized in light, about negative 70 millivolts. Analogies cheat sheet. Opsin plus retinol, guitar body plus string. Same string, different sound. Very accessible, use it in class. Retinal isomerization, loaded mousetrap. Photon is the trigger. Use it. Hyperpolarization, damn with a controlled leak. Light plugs the holes. Use it, but explain the evolutionary reason too. Amplification cascade, whisper amplified to fill a stadium PA system. Emphasizes the gain. Single photon detection, the universe's quietest signal, detected by a protein. Good for the wow close.